one answer will be on the mic. You will answer on the mic for recording purposes. And as I've said that there were other issues, I think I will introduce them to this place. Can I note hands of honorable members who I want to raise anything for now? I note honorable Albert. I note honorable Dapani. I note honorable Naomi Tashirana. I note honorable Jepaila. I note honorable Story. And I'll in that order. Honorable Albert.
Thank you, Chairperson, and welcome to the delegation. There's a couple of issues I want to touch on, but I think I'll first start with a couple of things. If we look at the vacancies is a lot of people, especially against the backdrop of the fact that we need people to do certain jobs in the museum. So I'm a bit concerned. You know, there's a lot of unemployment in South Africa, and I'm asking myself, you know, if you look at the lower level of the workforce, there's 80 vacancies. How difficult, you know? I know a lot of people are looking for jobs. Look everywhere, people are looking for jobs, and why is that post not full? Do you don't get people interested in working in the museum environment, or? I think that must be the case. They don't want to get near a museum. Or maybe the wages are too low. I'm not sure. I haven't got my finger on the pulse there. And I hope that the current personnel of 201, everyone in certain position, know exactly what he or she is to be done in that specific position in the museum. I'm glad to see interns and the trainees 2022. Maybe you can give us with more information about the contract workers. I hope you haven't got any consultants working with the museum or whatsoever. And then the CEO said something quite disturbing when he said changing the exhibit. You know, you can look at a certain way to the, for instance, the Second World War, especially on which side of the war you was, on Hitler's side or the Allies' side. But that is the exhibit, and I will, you know, every day there's new people come to see. I was there a couple of times in my life, and I even took my boys one day just to show them the exhibit. And to change all the way, I think we can add on. If there's space, but you change the exhibit, and then you can easily try to change history. But that is just my point of view, and I will certainly urge the DAC to do something to train people to get them interested in the job in the museums or whatever. Maybe the DAC DG. If I can speak through the chairperson, is there something to put more emphasis on this training, bursaries, whatsoever? Because I haven't picked it up in the media whatsoever. So I think we must put some emphasis on that. And as we know, the museum and cultural and historical history of South Africa, the preserving of history, is so important for our diverse country, that we must put more emphasis. And I'm very glad to hear, Gigi. I think we need a special drive in that direction, and then we can do a lot in future. Then maybe there will be more polyentrepreneur and all those people that are interested in this. Thank you, Chairperson. That's just a couple of ideas.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. My first question is just a follow-up, I'm sorry, no, a rider, in what my colleague has just asked. mind that we've got, I believe, sufficient money in the reserves, which I think you may use, because you said it's about 30 million that you have in the reserves, and then at the same time, we have a lot of vacancies. And you have got 25 contract workers. My understanding is that independent contract workers, over reliance on them, affects the capacity building. Why do you have so many contract workers in that institution? Yeah, in page, is page 8. Pardon?
Away.
In your position document is page 10, in mine is 8. That is the development of two major exhibitions at Tito. I am not satisfied by the reason of not achieving your target, because you say it was due to unforeseen circumstances. What are those circumstances? That is what we need. What are those? Page 10 on your position document. Principal activities, that is the heading. I bullet number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Bullet point number 7. Development of two major exhibitions at Tito. You had set yourself the target of two exhibitions, which you did not meet, and then the reason you are giving for not meeting the target you have set yourself is unforeseen circumstances. So the question is, what are those circumstances? Did you see it? Okay. In page 14 of your presentation, page 14, it's page 12 in mine, but it's page 14. you made the mention of, actually you are making it, a mention here of poor exhibits that affect your income negatively. And then you made an example of people coming after 10 years and finding this. Why is that? What is the cause of that? Of poor exhibiting. In page, I think it's 16 to yours, it's 14 in mine. I forgot now to take the number. Just go to the link. That multitasking. Yeah. Are you not overworking these employees by multitasking them? And which at the end will end up now affecting the performance? Why don't you just employ people instead of multitasking? You are overworking them, but that is my feeling. In the same page, you made a mention of a burglary that took place in 2008 where you were suspecting the real officer. I don't know whether I got you right. Same page, you made a mention in the position that there was a 2008 burglar broke in. And then you also said that you were suspecting security officer or what. My question now, what did you do about that? And what was stolen? The value of what was stolen? I think I've got a couple of questions. I think I must come again. All right.
My name is Ashoblova.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I've been partially covered by the previous speaker about the reserves, which is lying in the corpus, but they have not enough staff members. Why they cannot use the reserve to have those posts? But let me come to this, but they say from 2014-2015 financial year, its own projects to increase its own revenue from 7.8 million to 28.8 million, which is quite high, and if they can be able to reach the target, that would be very, very good. But my question is, can they explain what influenced such a very, very high figure from
I'm sorry. Should I? Well, I'm
thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, any citizen of any company or any private sector, or even include the state, must comply on the issue of the policy of employment equity. And say, immediately the question come up to me, if I see this presentation, then my question come up, is this museum comply with the employment equity policy? And if so, I want that reported to send it to the Department of Labor to clarify on the issue, because according to one of the slides of the Indian colored, I don't know what this 0.46% stands for, what this 0.45% stands for, and also on the issue of 7.15%. We must see, is this really comply to the employment equity? Or as the Honourable Tapana was saying, are those people locked down and not there in the senior management position where they can make decisions and have input? Because it's not only about on the issue of Africans, 70 whatever percent, but when you check, they are just locked down there. That is my one point, because it was, I mean, there was a good opportunity on your third page, what you're saying, the accumulation of 3 national museums in 5 historical sites. That was a good opportunity. Only the world to the most Africans, they fell in the axis, the last class funded. Say, person, on the issue of the assets, I want to check, did this institution have an asset policy? And if so, what is the value of the assets of this museum? What is the value? Also, check, person, on the issue, if there is an issue of about, as the CEO was saying, they can't settle on money. If there is money, they must use it. Now the question will come up to me. On what did they spend their investment? Why are their investment and for what are this investment be used for during the MTEF period? And say also, what plan is in place on the issue of fundraising for this institute? Because as you say, this morning I watched the Auto General was speaking there. He's saying the coffers of the state will not be full forever. And that's why he must use the funding very properly and efficiently, so that our next generation will not be sitting with their hands in their hair where they're saying, oh, where will we move to? So I want to check what efforts can be done much better on the issue of your exhibitions, so that you not create exhibitions on the loss, and then will be a problem. Lastly, Jay, there's a slide on the issue of funding that I want to go to. Bear with me, please, people. I want to check what is the trend and what is the percentage that you, and what format are you using when you work out your budget? Because some of your budget are not actually, if you look in 2011, 2012, 21-12, 21-3, and then you go 21-3, 21-4. And then it, from 21-4, 21-5, when you're working, it's going to go up, very high up. So I want to check, why are those actually normal standard. And when you go come to 21 or 25, then you go, is it, maybe the petrol could increase last week. I just make a joke. But on a serious note, we must check. Why? I mean, even in the total, if you look 66,259,388, and then you go to 70-something, 75,71. I really want to no, I'm not a CFO, but when it comes to finance, I have accounting in school. So that is my point, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the issue of learners of whatever, you know, we as an Africa, we have the program, but the question every time come up, where did you put those people? When they finish. Because otherwise we spend a lot of money in that, and at the end of the day are dropouts. So what is the purpose that we have that internship? Especially when you have a lot of vacancy rates. So, and you're saying you said the sort is, what type of learner subject is? Is it the learner subject you're talking about in your presentation about skills? The skills you need? But what type of learner subject you have? Otherwise, it's just that they said every entity of every department must take learnership. And we said, tomorrow when we wake up, we said, we take learners. For learnership. I mean, there must be a goal that you want to achieve when you have this learnership in your institution, so that you can overcome the gap that you have in your institution. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That's my thoughts.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ms. Before I ask my questions, I'd like to. I was after me because I driven. I just want to say to the CEO that when an entity receives an unqualified audit, it doesn't mean that there are no problems in the institution. Because most of them come here and say, no, Chair, we've received a clean audit. Then you realize there are more problems in the human form, in the institution as well. I've said to the AG on some issues to say, one, clean audits, but you must also tell us what are the problems institutionally as well. Find the issues on HR, on the staffing, on tender processes. But I want to first comment, maybe DG, you must also answer this question to say that if I heard correctly, I'll be corrected. You said, Chairperson, that you are 7-in-1 resigned. So that means we have 6 council members. If I do my research, maybe Fiona and Rollis must help me here. According to the Act, it's not supposed to be less than 7 members. So that means the council is legally not constitutional. Legal quorum will help me. That's the first issue that I must raise, because these issues of councils have been raised a lot of people. That means the Act, if the NS6, that means legally does not constitute. It's not correct. It's not legal. I want to raise that issue. But I just want to differ with you, CEO, on the statement that you have made about young people in this country, that they want quick jobs. It is not true. It's because they're not given these opportunities. UWC and VETS do train students a lot. And I believe it's your institutions that must go to these young people and tell them about these new opportunities that they don't know about, especially the former disadvantaged. They wouldn't know about some of these careers, curators, and all of these issues. I think that's where the problem is. And my first question would be, what are you doing about it? Are you partnering with the Department of Education, of Higher Education, and Training? Because there's something that must be done. There's an agency, NYDA. Have you partnered in it to say that these are other careers that can come? Have you partnered with schools to say these are the careers that are available? Because knowledge is power, because if you don't know anything, then there's a challenge about it. So as far as I'm saying, I really want to differ with you on the last statement that you have said. I want to raise this issue. You see, DG, I did not call the office of the OISD on purpose or advocate on this one, because I believe that it's going to be a trustworthy meeting. We've an office here, chairperson of the OISD, it's our lawyers in Parliament. When a lot of unions are writing to us, when there are individual staff members writing to us, we take that very seriously, so that we also don't get into own trouble, because we can't. I've got a lot of letters from the institution. That's why I said I want to know how here, because I've been writing, and some individuals have been writing on many issues. I also have that report. I wish that Mrs. A. Denbrek was here, because this seems to be the biggest problem in that institution. Because I would also like them to raise some of the issues here. You know, I'm not saying this is a labor issue, this, but we've done it before, but to raise some of it, because tell us, how is your relationship with the unions? Tell us, are you meeting regularly on staffing issues, on everything? Because because I believe that if there's a healthy environment with unions, I wouldn't be getting this lot of letters on my desk. And I still want to be clear that anyone who writes to me must not be victimized or to Parliament. It's a right of every citizen to have a voice. That one, I want to be clear about it. So there are many issues, and just to highlight a few of them. That's what I'm saying. It's members forced to join what the medical aid best, what? Best med or something. Others, it's... that's why I'm saying it's the issue of... I don't understand, but this pension issues, you know. And also there's an element, which I pick it up, is an element of segregation, racial segregation in your institution. They say whites are getting better treatment than blacks in your institution. That's what they are implicating. So are there any racial issues? Because, you know, and yeah, those are some issues. I think we'll go in depth if we will hear from what is an issue of a VIP salary system. It seems the whites are getting better than the black people, and the black staff is more marginalized. Travel allowance, there are names attached to these things, you know, and it's not something that comes from my head. And the whites are getting much better stuff, exemption, the blacks are in trouble, you know. And you know, I'm not sure who's Mr. Basson, but this Ms. Hinton, Mr. Basson are called to be serious problems in the institution. But I thought I should raise this issue, because I don't want to see the consult situation again in these entities. Furthermore, I will not agree with you, SEO, on what you have raised on the issue of GREP. The reasons that you have stated even before you answered, I don't agree. I will never agree. It's something that has been gazetted by government. It's something that invests on all cultural institutions. So I don't see why. For me, it's a major consider, because you can't have a... Why is it only your museum that is good? There are smaller museums than yours. So they are complying to a law. What is this one from the Northern Cape? That was the last week. William Hansen is very, very small. They have got no money. I think their budget is almost 2 million. What did they say? They were even from 5 million. Okay, yeah. You know, so they are complying to that. So I would never agree with what you said. Going further to your staff development, you've got a very low level staff, and you're also saying that there are no people who want to be curators. Why don't you develop your own staff within the institution? Those low level skill staff, where are the bothers? Why do you not provide them to be curator, to be, and that language of asking before any wrong, you know. So I would never agree with your institution not applying to GREP 103. I'm just checking. I had a few questions as well. No. You know, it further goes to the issue of the extended public works program, because it also goes to issues of young people as well, because we must pass the skills to younger people as well. Okay, I think I don't know. I think my next question is the issue of the performance management policy, you know? Do you have it, and why some staff members still have not signed the performance agreement, you know? And what change mechanisms are there? And I think for now I will grab on some issues with that. I think there was a question I think was raised by you, Mashirvan, about the such a high figure. I mean, your projects have increased with 365%. It's too high for me. I mean, there must be an explanation for that. Maybe we'll just hear from you, you know. And I think for now I'll leave it there. And I'm sorry when you went out, but I'll start with Mamshwan.
Thank you, Chairperson, and allow me to thank Jitol, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, for the presentation in front of us. But I have two questions. The first one, actually, if you ask last, everybody has asked it, but I want to ask it anyway. We are sitting with a challenge in this country, you should know, because you told me it's in this country, of unemployment, especially unemployment of the youth. So that's what I wanted to talk about. It has been said, and it must be emphasized, that my own belief is that to be employed within a militia does not necessarily need high qualification. Only. I want to believe that you can start from the displaced youth of this world. People who cannot read and write can work. They should find space in your company. And if they can't find space there, in this other department, people must come with their doctorate and all these scholars. You know, that when you get to the media, it needs to be clean, things need to be put in order and all those things. So I want to believe that you can do more. Definitely you can do more than you have done now. And I would urge you to go and think about it. That was the first thing. And maybe one would put it to you. I'm not a lawyer, but let's put it to that or to people. That if something must be done, and you're the only person capable, and someone structured like you, and you don't do it, nobody will do it. They cannot, like I said, dyslexia. A dyslexia will not go to a class and teach, because you need to be qualified to teach. But definitely in a museum, you can get something for them. Like they do a lot of beautiful things using their hands and stuff. Maybe you will assist us with things like production codes, you know. And the second one, it's a clarity question from you. I'm looking on page 23. I'm trying to understand this in front of me. There's a start day and there's a completion day. Your start date in that particular positive findings and description, it's like immediately, right? Completion date, ongoing. But even this is 100%, that confuses me. Can you explain on page 22? Because if you have not started, I can't marry the 100% to the ongoing, unless if I don't understand this thing and I need clarity, so that when I go out, because I'm behaving this and we talk to people out there, I must be able to understand this correctly.
Check it in. I'm sorry. Because I came late and I had to walk out. I'm not sure whether the issues that I wanted to raise have been raised, but I just explained to you now. And as the chairperson, I made to understand that Ditong has had an unqualified report from the Auditor General, and I had an explanation from them how they were complying to the SMART policy, and I think I would really commend them for that. But I just wanted to know a few things. Whether they have, does the museum have a policy on the utilization of investment? That's what I want to know. And if so, does it prescribe what they should use it for? Maybe they should explain it to me. And what would be this investment used for during the MTF period? Also, what other revenue mechanisms were considered before opting to tap into investment? The other thing, Chairperson, I don't know, as I said to you, I was late and I'm just not feeling well. I saw something on the one of these reports here, but I've been perusing all the documents. I don't see their organogram. I don't know whether in these reports, I might be short of one report here, but I would really want to know. I thought if we are having such a report, we should, or they do have an organogram. I think I don't have that report, and that was my concern. You have already asked about the performance policy. Also, pertaining to the demographics here, I don't know why, did they explain to you, why do they have the African people right at the lower posts? And what are they doing about it? They just happy with it because it has an implication. I'm told I think their demographics are quite questionable. Thank you. Maybe I'll go into this further later. Yeah, sure.
About performance agreement. I want to find out, these people have not yet signed it, which positions are these people holding in the institution? Because that is very important. So I don't think really it is about their choice in certain positions, whether they want to sign it or not. So to say that is improving, it is not enough. And it's not acceptable, particularly if their positions they are holding are very much senior in the institution. So that is the right answer to your question.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think what I'm going to ask now, as on what I've asked previously, it's in all the SOEs and everywhere, it's all the same. If you look at the budget, you know, program one, museum operations, two-thirds of the budget, and as predicted, administration, corporate services, one-third of the budget. So actually, it is important to bring all the strings together via the administration and the corporate services. But honestly, something is filtering away in the sand if we spend so much money on this program, administration and corporate services, and we are not focusing on the core business. So that is a concern. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Over to you. I'm not sure
we'll
start this, but over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, honourable members, for the probing questions you have put. I just want to respond to two questions, and then we've made a list of all the questions, and we'll try to cover them all in terms of.
I think it's not only which you must answer. All these people that are here.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
That's
thank
right. And anybody else who wants to comment can do so. As far as the legality of the council is concerned, the CEO did point out that when the council was initially constituted, I think there were 8 members, and 2 members resigned, and their resignation coincided with a change in the leadership of the Ministry of Arts and Culture. The council was appointed by an outgoing minister, and a new minister was appointed, and 2 of those councillors resigned. And I wrote to the Minister of Arts and Culture requesting that the situation be regularized. So we got another 2 additional, 3 in fact. The minister appointed 3 additional members. The one person we could not trace from the management tried to find out where the individual was residing in order to invite him or her to the meeting. The Department of Arts and Culture was also consulted to try and trace the individual. This was not possible. And then the 2 new people came on board and the council was then regular. But towards the second half of last year, one person indicated, one council member indicated, that because of work duties, it was difficult for him to serve on the council. And I pleaded with him and said, look, this council is almost halfway through its term, and to go back to the minister again for a replacement, you know, it's not going to be sensible. And we have not received, I have not received a copy of his letter sent to the minister, in which he formally tenders his resignation. Only letter I received was his indication that he intends to do so. But no letter was sent to the museum or to me in which is addressed to the minister as such. So yes, it's correct that with this council inactive, but as far as I know, not formally resigned, we have a problem in relation to what the Act requires, and we had discussed it at council. The second point pertains to the first question that was asked, and it was asked by one of two councillors. It relates to the changing of exhibitions. I think more correctly it should be understood as the modernization of the displays in the exhibitions. When these museums were constructed, they were based on 19th century, very static types of displays with things behind behind glasses and so forth and so on. But since the second half of the 20th century, digitization, multimedia, interactivity has become very important in making the exhibits and the experience of the museum goes richer. So the natural history collection is a world-class collection, but if you go into the museum, it's stuffy, it's unattractive, and it has not been renewed as technology advanced. And this is what is really being done in the Natural History Museum. Not only is it the technology, but linking the natural life to the indigenous cultures of South Africa. Because the method that was used was simply using the Latin and scientific discourses, and not, for instance, in the bird collection, the folklore, the stories, and including all the other forms of natural life. There's a rich cultural aspect to it that needs to be revealed to the contemporary museum goer, So that is what is really going on. And if we had time, I think management would have liked to show the designs related to this renewal and modernization that is being planned. So, and if we go to the Cultural History Museum, it is historically a colonial collection in which the emphasis falls either on anthropology or onto the colonial settler economies. And as the Council has rightly said, we need to make it more inclusive, more representative, just as it is in the case of the staff of the university, of the museum, that when people go into the Cultural History Museum, the National Cultural History Museum, all the cultures of South Africa must be reflected. People must be able to see themselves represented there, their histories and their stories. So that is what the renewal is about, and the changes. It is not to rewrite and distort history simply in terms of one perspective, but precisely to do what is required of national institutions. So I will leave the other questions to colleagues and whoever wants to respond.
Chair, through you, as Prof has indicated, he has touched on specific items which he had to respond to. So, because the issue that he had raised in terms of council and constitutionality of council is concerned, I think it can be answered with the question of the end of term of this council, which was also raised by one of the members. On that one, I could respond by saying that the term of this council will be coming to an end in June, and the department is already in the process of ensuring that the new council is appointed. I have communicated with the council, with the department on this matter, as I was instructed by council that I should remind the department. But when I communicated with the department, they did indicate that they are actually in that process of facilitating the appointment of new council, so that when this one comes out, the other one must be ready to take over. But probably the DG could add on that one. And then I'll respond to other questions. The DG is satisfied with my response. The other question is a question of vacancies, if I take the points now from the beginning. Why so many vacancies in the organization when the rate of unemployment is so high? And whether we have consultants in our institution, and the question of changing exhibits, which came from one of the honourable members. As I explained at the beginning, honourable members, that initially, when these three museums were amalgamated, they did not actually amalgamated. Each museum had its own structure, and they continued running the organization the same way. And now, over time, all the three major museums lost a lot of staff. And during the amalgamation, the museums had already lost a lot of staff through attrition or through...
Because you must understand what he's trying to say. I think you'll get a full view of what one of the stories said.
The amalgamation. The amalgamation, Prof will also assist me, there means integration. Integration of structures of museums. Because the government had realized that it could not be funding museums with different councils, appointing different boards at different museums. Rather, what was easy was that it was to integrate them so that we can have one, they could have shared services. That was the objective of the government. But now, when that was done, some of the staff who were within these museums continued to operate as if these museums were not integrated. Now, you'd have a big structure which focuses on corporate services, as it has already been identified by one of the honorable members, ignoring the core business. So there was no structure that addresses the core business, separation of core business from corporate services, so that resources in terms of personnel and financial resources could be distributed equitably. Now, when the organizational development exercise was undertaken, it was intended to address that, to really identify the actual needs of the integrated organization. How many people would we really need as curators in this organization? How many people would we need as managers to ensure that this organization runs efficiently? That was the objective of the exercise. And after that exercise, that's where then we came to 301 staff members who we identified that for this organization to function properly, this is the total number of people we need. But once we have identified that, we realize that, but we do know what has to be done, how many people we need to run this organization. But we did not have a budget to employ people to fill up all those positions. Now, I'm also responding to the question of multitasking on this one. Given the fact that we did not have the funds to actually implement some of the new regulations which keep on coming almost every year in terms of the National Treasury, we requested some of our staff members that they should do some of the tasks. Cognizant of the fact that they are overworked, and being overworked affects performance. We are aware of that. Hence, we have on several occasions submitted our request to the National Treasury through the Department of Arts and Culture to address this problem which we have encountered. The structure that members were seeing there is a structure that has emanated from an exercise that was trying to find the human capital needs of the organization. Hence, this high...
I think the bulk of those positions are new positions. It's not as if there were positions which became vacant as people left. New positions were created and they haven't been filled because there's a lack of budget for that.
Also respond to the... I'm trying to deal with this issue pertaining to human resources. There was another question which was raised relating to why do we have so many black people at the low level whilst we have other groups occupying a top position. I should really state that as members may be aware that to museums of South Africa. It's an amalgamation of museums or integration of museums which have been there for many years. These museums are not new museums. The Natural History Museum, which is used to be the Transvaal Museum, existed since 1802 or so. The Cultural History Museum has been there for so long. Now, the majority of the black people who are at the low end are people who have been in this organization, some of them, for a long time, because most of these museum professions at senior level were occupied by black people. We never had black archaeologists or paleontologists in the 80s. Those are positions which were occupied by white people. So we have inherited museums which have been owned by white people. I'm an archaeologist by profession as well. Now, what I'm trying to say, honorable members, is that now we are not sitting on our laurels as far as this question is concerned. We are trying our best to encourage our staff to pursue courses in museum-related courses. We also have bazaaries in the organization. I do visit all the museums, meet with staff at individual museums at a one-to-one level. I have on several occasions encouraged staff that they must take bazaaries, take an opportunity which we have in the organization to study. And those who do take that opportunity, there are people who are studying currently, who are pursuing different fields. We've had some who have qualified. We had one young lady who finished an honors degree in archaeology. Immediately after finishing that, she left us for better pay. Now, it is not that we are not addressing this discrepancy which exists in our organization. There are efforts to address these problems which are inherent in some of these old institutions in our country. It is a problem. Employment of youth. Employment of youth is also our major concern, whereby, as we had seen, that we had stated that we are trying to get some of this experiential training and interns into our institution. We just got about 15 interns where we are cooperating with the Department of Tourism, absorbed into our organization. And in the past 10 years or so since I joined this organization, we have absorbed quite a number of some of the interns who were working in the organization at some of our museum, depending on the availability of budget to employ them on permanent basis. That has been done in some cases. Ma'am, I don't know if you want to add on that, or the HR manager wants to add on that. And I don't know if I have touched on a number of issues which were raised on personnel. Ma'am? And learnerships. I should say that we are making every effort where we can to take some of these young people to work at our museums.
I think I'm not sure whether you're not in question, because I believe your HR should say with everyone. That's why I said everyone must answer questions. Because we've got a lot of questions that I believe everyone was noting, especially those who impacted on them directly.
Yeah, add on what I have added. I was handling all the HR issues, but if my colleagues would like to add on that.
The HR manager was brought here, I think I believe, for questions that specifically also directed to the manual of taxpayers was not just wasted for people to come to Parliament. So I think she has to answer all those questions that were directed to her. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I'm just going to also touch on a few, maybe that's the CEO has also addressed. The other question that I've noted that he did not touch on is the issue of contract employees. in that aspect, we have positions that not necessarily require people to be there on a daily basis. It depends on the booking of the visitors to the museums for them to be able to come in and do guiding of those tours. So those people are placed on contract positions as and when the bookings become available, as we get visitors, then they come into work. So that's why we have those 25 contractors in those positions. And then the other issue that the CEO might have not touched on is the employment equity policy. Yes, we do have employment equity policy, and we are compliant in terms of the Department of Labor submission. I heard that question was raised. We do submit every October as it is legislated, and we do have proof of submission for this past year. And yes, it is aligned. Our employment equity plan is aligned to Department of Labor, and we do have proof to such questions. And then yes, we do have performance management policy. The question was raised earlier. The people that have not signed performance agreement are people at a lower level. All the people at senior level management have signed performance agreements. We have a few individuals at lower levels who have not signed, not necessarily for the lack of knowledge, however, it's issues where people feel that because they did not necessarily get a performance bonus the previous year, so they don't necessarily see the reason why they should sign a performance agreement. People come up with different reasons. And also the fact that we had an issue of OD that was at the CCMA, people, most people did not sign the performance agreement on those basis because the issue of OD was challenged and the matter was dismissed at the CCMA. And then after that, the CEO engaged on roadshows to educate the employees as to why it's important for them to sign performance agreement. And then after those roadshows, we did have a lot of people's employees signing performance agreements, and also the fact that in the month of February this year and this month again, we processed quite a few payments of performance bonuses, so that also encouraged the employees, as they could see the result of signing performance agreement, that there is actually an incentive at the end of the financial year. And then in terms of the split of the gender, there was a question raised there. In terms of the African females within in the organization, we have about, I'm just talking holistically, we have about 87% of the African females. And then in terms of African males, we have 52%. And then white females, we have 25%, and then in terms of Indian, we have 0.46, I think, it's very low. And then in terms of colored male and female also, we have very low numbers there, but the bulk of the percentage lies on the African female, and then the second one following that is African male, and then the third one following that is white female. Thank you. If there are any more questions, I'll just respond to them later.
I think the CFO can answer some of the financial issues that you raised.
In terms of the list, I think contracts have been dealt with. Vacancies have been dealt with. There was a question of poor exhibits and a question of visitation to museums, which I think in terms of this one, of poor exhibits, I would really say that I don't know that give the directors of museums to respond to this. me give it to the directors of museums.
Thank you, Chair. I strongly feel that the chairperson of the council was precise in presenting earlier on. He touched on issues of representativity, modernization being relevant, and all those sorts of things. So I think that was well addressed, Mr. Maholo. Hence, we are having some projects in the pipeline, and for example, the biodiversity and the birds and the natural history. Every culture at present, we are looking forward to during this the next coming financial year, starting April 2013. We hope prior the end of that new year, would have launched an exhibit profiling the history of the capital of South Africa, and subsequent to that, there are quite a few others in the pipeline addressing cultural issues of cultural diversity. I think, let me stop there, but there's quite a projects which, if honorable members would like to be finished, surely through the CEO, surely that could be made available. Thank you.
On behalf of the military chairperson, I would like to respond on behalf of the military museum. Currently, we have an advert on Radio 702 on the Battle of Britain. The exhibition is going on for the next 6 months. We have been interacting with the Department of Education in Gauteng province. We've met with the DG, the DDG, and the chief directors of that department to work together with that department so that we sit with that the schools visit our museum. We have agreed with the department that is going to take place. We have agreed with the Department of Sports and Recreation, Arts and Culture. We are in the process of making an agreement with them. We are in the process of finalizing an agreement with the city of Johannesburg in terms of working on all the monuments and the, you know, that are within the city, for example, the Lomendi Memorial and so on and so forth. We've just got proof of that. There were photographs on that one as well. We are doing quite a lot in terms of interacting with stakeholder forums. We are engaging with the Department of Tourism in Gauteng as well. We are having talks with them also, so as we have an agreement with them. Thank you.
I think this is a national museum. It's not a provincial museum. I think that's why members are starting to be agitated. See, what about other provinces? But I think, Ms. Maholo, one of the issues, I think I'm not sure that you can talk about the TG in the department, because when you come to Parliament, there was one of my following questions was going to ask, what are your communication and marketing issues? Was they are not on the report, because we want to know what is that you're doing, because we can't document anything when we're not clear what is that you've done. I think part of the report, I think I heard a critic of the report at the end, but I'm thinking members are actually, because I come from different provinces, when you speak about housing only, that's why we are here in this forum, is that it's a provincial based museum. I think I just want to come in there.
Thank you, Chen.
I think you are not done. Maybe he's still going to come to there.
Chair, we wanted to start first with, for example, I wanted to respect the people around us. We started with the office of the MMC, to start with the metro, because I'm new in the museum, you know. To start with the metro, I'm done with the metro in the city of Johannesburg. I've escalated it up now to the department, to the province. We are in the process of getting to national chairperson.
Yeah, emotional.
Yeah. We are busy right now with the liberation movement also.
With the National Liberation Movement?
Yes, for a former liberation movement to get also their items to the
How long have you been in the museum?
Yeah, I've been there for the past 9 months,
Chairperson. Okay, wonderful. Now, I want people who have been there in the museum for some time. What has been done with other provinces? I will leave you out here, sir, because we are saying, what programs then have been done? Because now you are agitating members and you won't get out of this portfolio committee. So that's why I was saying that are you programmed only provincial based, or do you have national programs that have been paid? Programs, national. Yes, sir. Chairperson? Oh, okay.
The collections, when we're talking
talking about representativity of the collections. If you walk into the museum, the Natural History Museum, you see the entire natural dimension of South Africa, its animals, its birds, its paleontological history. You get a picture of the entire country, how it evolved. But because the museum is located in Pretoria, the Natural History Museum, its exhibits are accessible largely to the people in that area, or people doing national tourism, internal national tourism. And when the cultural policies were developed in 1994, I chaired the task team which the then minister appointed. These flagships that we talk about, the southern flagship in Cape Town and the northern flagship in Pretoria, was supposed to be supplemented with a central flagship that is in the interior, and a southeastern flagship on the eastern board. So that there's a set of campuses right in the Smithsonian. It's not located in one city, but it's spread across the country, and exhibits can travel. If an exhibit is constructed at its own, it doesn't have to be packed up after the show. It can travel to Ezekiel, it can travel to the museums in the eastern part of the country and to the interior, and in that way. And that also hasn't quite developed yet. But that was the vision behind the new system, not just to save money, but to integrate the heritage system, because the apartheid heritage was fragmented and segregated. It was to create a new national system. And we haven't really got to that stage. But the Department of Arts and Culture is looking at the architecture of the entities and the heritage system. And there is talk about consolidation of museums in the east and in the central parts, as was proposed in the task team report, but has not really been done yet.
That's it, my questions. Thanks,
Pastor
Susan. Many questions that are still outstanding.
Yes, I was also going to come up with this.
Can I have a mic, please?
Thanks, Shane. There are two other issues which were raised with regard to the reserves. That what are we doing with reserves? Why should we have so many vacancies when we have reserves of about 30 million rand? And the other question was, what are these reserves for? What have they been recommended to be used for? Those are the questions which I picked up as far as reserves are concerned. I know the CFO will assist me, but what I need to state is that as the CFO had stated that these reserves were as a result of the integration of the museums, when some of the money which all these museums had was put together. We, however, unable to use the reserves for personnel expenditure because it will not be sustainable. Because once you employ someone on a permanent position, once those reserves are exhausted, we are in trouble. Hence, we have decided that we'll use these reserves for once-off projects, whereby we know that if we have to spend so much employing somebody maybe on a two-year contract, it's a contract that will come to an end, and that would make sense. But on permanent basis, it will have serious problems. So, hence, we can't use them for vacancies. That's my explanation for that, for not using the reserves for vacancies. But on the question of why these reserves, can you proceed, ma'am?
Thank you, Mr. Makuru. Maybe just to finalize the statement that he's just alluded to,
There was also a question on the reserves in terms of the on the slide there. The 5.3, 177, and 1.8, what is this going to be used for? For the current financial year, as explained there under the map, we requested that those funds to fund 7 critical posts over a 2-year contract. Water and electricity, a challenge that we're explaining, you know, where public works has just is no longer paying for our utility bill. For this year, we have requested 2 million of that, and also the capital budget for furniture and computers. Then going forward in 14-15 and 15-16, it's also for personnel, those the 3-year contract for those 7 posts that have been approved by council. How that arose, Mr. Mahul has alluded to the fact that at amalgamation, the surplus funds that were there, you know, we integrated. But also over the years, as and when we realize savings at the end of the financial year, we make a submission to National Treasury through DAC, where we request to retain the surplus funds for critical issues that we might have challenge on. And over the years, Treasury has approved that we can retain the surplus funds. So this is a loss, but the loss per se last year is a result of the post-employment benefit, which is arising as a result of the medical aid post-retirement, which currently is sitting at 33.597 million. So the reserves that are there as a result of that, and also the savings over the years since amalgamation.
I think there's still we still have questions that are unanswered. I believe my questions that I've asked about unions and everything, maybe I should also give them a chance the back. Do you want to say something after to the first and did you want to answer based on the question? Oh. Okay. I will give you I think one on this reserve, what about your security issue that you've been raising? You are talking about security problems. Why not utilize it for that? DJ, and then I'll give the gentleman there the bag.
And I think there's two.
Yeah. But some of these issues might not be aimed here, but might be raised here because I'm using the one uncle's office. DJ?
Pastor, let me respond to a couple of questions. Maybe let me start with the issue of the reserves. Mr. Mahulu has mentioned why you can't use reserves to fund personnel. Because when the reserves run out, then you're left with the problem, then you've got to retrench again. Chair, I think though there's another point which needs to be made. We encourage our institutions to diversify their income so that they are not reliant on the state alone as their source of income. So reserves are an important part of that mixture of income. It's important for institutions to have reserves. The problem, though, comes in the way the Treasury looks at reserves. Because when it comes, the Minister of Finance presented the budget a few weeks ago, and it's clear that we are heading towards budget cuts. Where does Treasury start counting? They start cutting institutions that have reserves. So it becomes a problem. You are not encouraging institutions to actually have reserves. And it's a problem. We are raising this matter up with Treasury because we would like to protect the reserves of our institutions and want them to be able to raise their own revenue and have a healthy mix of revenue between states and what they generate and what they are able to save. That's the first point that I thought I should make, Chair. The second issue which I want to raise, Mr. Mahulu mentioned earlier on that we have been going to Treasury and raising a number of things around the funding of our museums. Chair, I think I can say it openly. None of our museums are adequately funded. Not a single one of them. If you look at the age of the infrastructure, if you look at the staff complement that they need, none of them are properly funded. We are developing for our next bit of the budget a proper costing for what it really means in today's term to run institutions that are museum with the kind of infrastructure that they have, with the kind of personnel needs that they have, so that we can present that to the treasurer. Whether we will get money out of that or not, we are hoping that we will get some money, at least to begin to alleviate some of the plights of our institutions. However, Chair, the bottom line remains, unless you've got a commitment over the MTEF, you cannot employ people. Because otherwise, if you don't have that commitment, you're going to find yourself in trouble and you'll have to retrench. The third issue which I want to raise, Chair, about the infrastructure. Just this week, we have I have signed allocations to our institutions for some of their urgent infrastructure needs, including the security for Ditong. So we have made that kind of money available to Ditong, and it's going to be going there. Perhaps I should have said while I was speaking about personnel needs, Chair. You know, Treasury started something new. They don't just allocate money to institutions. This year, they have started limiting what you can use for your operations. The Tong has a budget of, what's the budget for this year? 75 million for this financial year. But then Treasury will say, of that, you can use no more than 20 or 25% for your operations. I don't know what the number exactly is with regards to the Tong. Which means that they cannot use above that ceiling for personnel, for administration, for all of these costs. It's beginning to place quite a lot of pressure on some of our institutions. I mean, some of our institutions have come back to us and say they just cannot survive with that kind of a ceiling, and we are busy renegotiating that with National Treasury. Another point which I think I should make, Prof. Explained the issue of the council. When the last resignation becomes formalized, we will fill that so that the council can correct. But we are beginning the process of the new term of council, which begins on the 1st of July, and that's how we are going to address that. I do agree, Chair, that in the future we would like to have a slightly bigger council, so that the council does not lack quorum just because one or two members have resigned. So we will apply a bit of discretion when it comes to that. Yeah, Chair, I thought those are the questions that I should respond to from the department's perspective.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've looked at the questions that were asked, and it's clear that there are a number of key issues that are coming around, and the key issues center around job creation and unemployment and core business, and that seems to be our problem as well. And there are various reasons for having these problems, and the reasons may not come from the organization itself. It comes from the entire environment in which we are moving, and that is the heritage industry, the heritage environment, and the information industry. Since 1994, we started competing with the heritage industry and HIAs, heritage impact assessments, and many of the best staff members at various museums, including ours, have left the organization because they now have their own businesses. And they work for fees they start off at about 300 rand an hour up to 600, 900 rand an hour, and we can only pay these people a salary starting or not even starting. Mine is currently around about 160 rand an hour. So we are competing in an industry and we can't pay these professional people, and even the individuals coming into the industry, those are the individuals looking for jobs, and the private industry or the heritage industry pick these people up as assistants or junior field workers, and they work their way up to become principal investigators. So that didn't exist prior to 1994, or rather since the Heritage Act was published, and we started using it in 2000. So that is one of our key problems. Now, how do we win these people back? The only way to win them back is through job creation. And that is one thing we can try and do. The other problem
is... Can I check something? Are you not a member of the union?
Yes, I am.
I wanted to check, are there any... Okay, let me ask this question. Sorry for coming in. Do you have staff at the regular meetings with the management? No one wants to intimidate you.
Not necessarily a regular. We do it usually on an ad hoc basis, or depending on what issues come up, we discuss issues relating to staff issues, depending on what is
there.
We've started with it, but some of these meetings have fizzled out, and every so often then we get together again. But it's that's where we started off, but we're not there yet. No, not currently.
And your relation with the council?
No, I have no relation to the council. No, we don't even have meetings with the council. I don't think we're even allowed to speak to the council.
Why is that?
We usually deal with management, purely on management issues, staff issues, and not with the council.
So
I've never negotiated or spoken to any of the council members.
So if you're not happy with your issues with management, so where do you take them further?
The logical way is to go to the council, but I've never taken an issue to the council.
Yeah. Are you happy with the labor relations or any work? Are there any work related matters that you don't need to raise them one by one? Are you happy with the work relations or whatever matters in the institution, or do you have a lot of issues?
I have a lot of issues, yes, but that would keep us busy for probably 6 months if we start talking about those things, because it relates to corporate future and vision, and how we're going to solve problems relating to a shrinking organization because we don't have staff. The organization is really, in terms of staff, is shrinking, and the figures have indicated to you. So that is one of the issues, but it's a corporate issue. It's not really a labor relations issue. Most of the issues we are confronted with are clearly labor relations issues, when there's conflict with job descriptions, when there's conflict in terms of ad hoc hearings and so forth. Not really corporate issues. I don't think, not from our side, we really addressed corporate issues. We tend to focus on labor relations issues. That's attending meetings where shortlistings are done and interviews are held and that kind of discussions and issues.
So other changes are not consulted?
No, not as a union, not necessarily as a union. Currently now I'm in management, so now all of a sudden I get a lot of new information. But as a standard union chairperson, I'm not consulted on corporate issues in broad terms.
Why are you not consulted? Was anything that happens in institutions, unions are supposed to be consulted?
So that's probably a legacy that we've just inherited. We need to create a culture where we become part of the entire corporate
but
drive.
That's legacy then. Let me go next door. Mr. Maybe you'll just follow the trend. Because I want these members to be aware about what we receive a lot of letters as I've stated in the beginning. And these members of the portfolio committee, because we don't want that cancel situation again on our members. That's why I'm raising this issue before. That's why I did not call all those advocates. That's why. Okay. Because there's a lot that will come in. I'm raising this prof on purpose in front of the DG because we don't want this thing. Everyone.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. So we do have a recognition agreement signed with management, but a matter of going concern is sometimes this recognition agreement is in breach. As it has been alluded to, the organizational development, it was mentioned that it was in dispute primarily because as it is stated in the recognition agreement and the Labor Relations Act, no meaningful consultation took place. Hence the not signing of performance agreements and the delay in its implementation. Just to be brief, one of the the process, organizational development, I think you had raised this question of why many previously disadvantaged people are just stuck at the level, at the lowest level. The organizational development has really taken most of the black people further down. That was one of our concerns. And also, it didn't cover the issue of occupational specific dispensation. It is first consultation, secondly, the issue of employment equity, thirdly, it is the issue of OLD, although it was dismissed at CCMA with technical reasons. But now, as I speak, the legal department is pursuing the matter to Labour Court. Moving further on, we did raise certain issues with regard to corporate, and we did wrote to council and the CEO management that would like to participate in forums, all forums within DITSO. What we get was an acknowledgement that our letter has been received, and that once the council and management has applied their mind, will be part and parcel of those forums. Primarily because we are a bit concerned given the situation of the organization. Going back to the issue of exhibitions, as a union, I believe we are the watchdog of the organization. There's been an exhibition which has been standing for quite a number of years. If I'm not mistaken, I stand to be corrected, I think the exhibition was supposed to be open way back 2009. But currently that exhibition is still standing incomplete. The other one is an incomplete project, it's a policy fencing at Swahili. And then other issues is pertaining to what the chairperson has raised, the issue of in terms of remunerations and benefits. A concerned employee brought a document to our attention. Seeing that we once raised some issues with the chairperson of council, we physically went to him and had a meeting, and he promised that he will address the issue of the dinosaur exhibition. Up until today is not resolved. We lost confidence now. Then we got this document presented to us by a concerned employee that can you look at the disparity which continue to perpetuate. And we had a look at the dossier or the document or the file. We then escalated to our regional level. The regional level gave it to the provincial Nehau, and then they did, I don't know what they did, but the document was given to a certain legal or a certain entity within the country to deal with those matters pertaining to disparities and so on and so on. So, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, it is quite disturbing that you have a recognition agreement, matters of policies as a union, you are told to cancel. Council has approved this policy. But if you check the policy, it needs, it requires the signature of the unions. But you are just told that council has spoken. Whether you signed or not, or you endorse or not as a union, you see. So those are the challenging issues that we are faced with as Nehau. To the presentation presented before the portfolio committee, if I may be given permission to, could I respond or be given a copy of the presentation from the employer and respond within a month or so to present to respond to the presentation, the general strategy and so on and so on.
Okay, I think from what I get now, we don't want that kind of situation. Because, you see, chairperson of council, started like this. And then when we intervened, we found that there were deeper issues. Because the council lied to us, the CEO lied to us, here in Parliament. Then we took our team. That's why we did not bring them here. Because we said we have confidence not to be represented by everyone here. But if we find that whatever is presented is not true, we'll bring our team. And when they do the division, they come out with everything, and it won't be nice. One of the issues, I think, DG, there are some of the issues that were raised, and Dr. G's, when I spoke about the NOP. I see members now raising the hand, based on what I was reading. Chairperson, I just want to say that, okay, I think members had follow-up questions before, because I know, I can see what you said, but I don't think I was happy with the response of the director of HR. I always believe in an institution, when people refuse to sign performance agreements, there's a problem somewhere. There should be a problem somewhere. There is no employee wouldn't want. It's a labor matter. It's an act which was that every employee must sign it. You know, because how do you evaluate a person? Maybe even to the next level. Not only because, you see, I think one of the issues that I've seen, the impression about this is about money. That's the first thing. Not understanding is also about your development as well as a person. I'm not sure those are some of the things that is. But also what I've recognized in this signing, some workers are victimized using the same piece of legislation. But I will come back to that. What you have presented now just gave us another picture. But I saw members that follow up. Also a story.
My question was
who for me?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want a yes or a no for an answer. Mm. We are talking about money and people the whole morning.
Mm.
What's the song all about? It's about things that we have to preserve for the future. And I'm asking you just to answer yes or no. Are you satisfied that this, all the pieces you have to preserve, maybe in a storeroom below the Straatoppervlakte, what's it, street level or whatever, are they safe? No water leaks? The humidity correct? Just yes or no. And if you have doubt, say no. Well, because I'm going to investigate it myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The first one is just a comment from the responses to the question about a lady who, after completing honors, left the institution. I think you must make them sign a contract in terms of which a person allocated a person must work for so certain years for the decision before he or she may look for a person somewhere. They must let them sign a contract. I asked a question about the broken that took place in 2008, and I asked the value, if there's anything that was stolen in that burglary, and the value. I didn't hear the response to that one. I am looking at the time as well. We are running out of time. I think it must be page 29 of the presentation. The inventory, page 29. I think it's supposed to be page 29. I forgot now. So, the finding was that there are no proper stock. There is no proper stock count procedure. The question now is, why did this happen? Why is only now that you are taking a precautionary measure about this thing? And the second thing, the following question is in page 32 of the presentation, the movable assets. It is the purchases and delivery documents not consistent with actual item received. To me, that is very ridiculous. What was the cause of this? And then if this really happened, are you sure now that, are you certain that there is no theft that was involved in this thing? Because I fail to understand how did it happen. what has been your challenge? Honorable Chairperson, thank you so much.
Looking at the time, you have mentioned that there are so many letters that we get as a committee. And, you know, as for myself, Chairperson, I know the difficulty and still an eruption. But I haven't listened to all of this. I think we still need another meeting. I don't understand what is the role that has been played by DC in these matters. And there are matters arising from letters that have been written by trade unions and people paying for the fees, the cases, and which is not supposed to be done in that manner. Ditong cannot pay for individuals, they have to pay for them. So these are the matters I think we need to interrogate. And I would propose, Chairperson, that we deserve to have another meeting with Ditong, whereby Kuditi will be explaining actually what has the DAC done. For the mere fact that the person was reporting on militarism, you know, the whole thing that he said, you know, so many questions arise from that. I don't really want to consider the report, I mean the response that we got on how do they address that and what prompted them to do that, but I think it's quite questionable and we need more time. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, on what Honorable Mastori is saying, you know, there are very serious allegations here.
Yes.
And in the manner now that we are dealing with, they are not going to do justice. And I am not sure whether the CEO or the chairperson of the were aware of the allegations before they came here. So really, I don't think it will be fair for us to say they must respond. So I think we must compile all the allegations against the council or the CEO, whoever, and then we set a date. And then we finish them with all the allegations so that when they come here, they are ready and prepared to answer all these things. I think that will be the fair process, not to just, you know, put them at the back door. I think that is hijacking.
I think the chairperson, I just want to align myself with the previous speaker that there are several allegations that are coming through to us. I'm just not sure whether some of these allegations only come to this committee or they've gone to other bodies like the public protector or whatever it is. And if that is the case, it has come to us and also to other organizations. Maybe we need to wait for the process, supposing it's whatever it is, to go through and the bodies that, you know, are competent to handle such allegations. I'm not sure whether they can give us a line, but these allegations that we just see, you know, just today and what have you, have they only come to us, or there are other allegations which have gone to other bodies who are supposed to answer? Thank you.
Yes. I think one I'm thinking, as far as the question that I've never asked when we started, before I respond, CEO, are you on contract?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
And how long is your contract?
Yeah, it was extended for another 5 years.
To sign contract. Okay. We don't understand the situation as to whether they have signed.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm asking, was where the CEO who said she was on contract, then it was not signed, it couldn't come out. Well, where the, I think it was another
There are some of the things that we find in portfolio committees. The person that says that is not signed, and there was no agreement, no minutes, no nothing. That's what I thought I should ask you now. I understand what members you are raising, but you must remember we also have an office of in Parliament of OIST. But what I want to say was the time is against us, and I think there's a lot of issues that have been raised as well. And I think as well, there are many issues on my side that I needed to raise about, especially on the educational process, the marketing of the institution, you know, MOUs with other institutions as well, like others. But DG, I must have a request, as my story, what on our story is raising on the issue of what is your intervention in terms of, I'm not sure whether you are aware or you're not aware of some of the labor issues or personal issues, or maybe I should ask a question, who is this Miss Sister here? What's her name? Who are you in Raho? What is she in the institution?
Mrs. Hedinrich was a financial manager, and she resigned in 2005. And you know, my problem again is that I don't know what are the allegations which have been given to the portfolio committee, so that I could respond in the case of Mrs. Hedinrich on the basis of the allegations which have been made. Hence, we have not seen any of the allegations which have been forwarded to the portfolio committee.
What is her relation now with the institution?
She's no longer working with the institution.
She left the institution.
Since she left in 2005.
Yes. We are trying to understand. What we'll do, as you said, I think we will just sit on our side and just decide on check some of those issues as we raised. I want to say I'd like to have confidence in the entities and the people who are governing in our entities. It's not nice to always send investigating teams in entities or institutions, but maybe what I should say, because we won't finish now because we still had a lot of questions, and I think the DG, the song should come back, but what I would request in the process, and I say it here reported, April, I don't care whether people have got personal relations, we are at work not to like each other, but I believe we're all human. I always say, let humanity prevail. I would like, before the end of this month, which is 1 month, before the end of this month, maybe in the next week, the management, the directors. I would like the management to meet the union and the council with DAC. Oh no, one of the room at our room. Oh, we have room. I'm saying this prof because we are tired of hearing such an institution. And I want to raise something that somebody said when I was on the bus today that I didn't like. Fortunately, he was back. He said to me, but Chairperson, why is it every time when there's a black CEO, or I'm just making an example, then there are problems in the institution? Is it because we blacks don't like each other? I'm just saying this. Is it why maybe Sakima Chosom appointed two CEOs instead of one external bank? I'm just raising this. We are not at work to like each other or not, but we are doing for South Africans, for all South Africans, all races, black and white, and everything. And I still believe if people are not happy with anything, they must come to management. I don't think doors of management are closed, unless me and Kilda, we don't go on some of this. I want that meeting. And people to be frank with each other. We don't want to do what we did with Pantel the other time. It was like a war. You know, we're watching this one. We thought we should just leave them like little kids. You saw the anger and the frustration because the doors were closed from the side. But you see, at the end, what became horrible was that management and what council were wrong. And we thought the unions were lying to us. So I'm not saying they're correct. No, I don't say that. I'm not saying they're correct, but I'm just saying we thought unions are lying with these little notes that they are sending us. Maybe it's personal issues. Maybe I'm angry because they didn't get certain posts. We thought, we're not going to do anything. But when it went deeper, we found out council was wrong. So I'm just trying to raise those issues. And you can't, labor relations is there so that you cannot close labor outside. It goes for all of you who are managers, directors, but you must touch to all levels. One of the issues that we have seen, especially in this institution, management at senior level directors, they don't want to interact with the lowest level on the ground. You know, in our, when we do oversight, maybe one will visit with its own one day, maybe one day 10. People, when we go to, when we visit a prof, I'm raising this issue so that you can understand why I'm working. We come there, you portfolio committee members, you know we are coming, we prepare, we meet your managers, we take us everywhere. When you go to the bathroom, a lady, maybe the general worker will, she will tell you things, run away, then maybe you say, come, whatever. Then when we meet as members, that's where we realize the problem in this issue. But because the seniors undermine the lower levels, because they say they are uneducated, they've got their own ones. So I'm just saying, that must happen. I hope you are happy with my two union reps. You are happy with what I'm saying. That you meet the management, you meet the council, and the department to solve some of these issues. And then, the way you are honest to me on this, that's the way you must raise those issues, you know, every single issue. And secondly, DG, am I not agree 100% with my story raised? One of my concerns is the issue of security. I know I'm about to have reserves. I might not understand the treasury regulation, how to shift money. Because if your concern is security, to me it becomes a serious issue, because you can't lose what is available to South Africa. You know, I think maybe we should visit the, because we're not telling you that. The one with the chair of Dingane. That one. And see how they are, their security system on how they have done. Maybe you should go and see them. But I like their security, how the security is done. I think even William Humphrey is the best security from the entrance. Maybe you should see how they have done their security in these other two museums. Because they had a problem, but that's the way you can copy from them how to find that issue. And we are not done. We will meet you maybe not in the next week or two, maybe at the beginning of the second term for us, because we want these issues ironed out. I don't want Kopezanas in my email. Obviously, we could never specify anybody in the organization, but if the majority is going to come. But I thought that's one of the issues that I would raise. But I don't know whether I've covered correctly then.
On a point of order, Chairperson, can I just have a yes or a no on my question?
Didn't you get your answer?
No, I didn't receive it. Just yes or no.
Can I ask the directors, because the collections are housed in the specific sites, to indicate what their storage capacities are, including the conditions under which it is kept?
You said a yes or no. Don't you say yes or no?
You can't say 100%.
That's a no.
That means a no.
That's a no, yes.
Members, anyone wants to say anything? Then we can talk. On the story?
Yeah. Maybe just to confirm what you have just said. I've been sitting here listening to the management and the council. Everything seems to be working very well. And there's a vast difference to the letter that you will see. That means, and you must remember, Chairperson, and also Dito must also remember, we are public representatives. We ought to listen to the public. And this social distance between the management and the people in the hierarchy and with the people, what that's what you say, it becomes a very serious concern for us. I think what the chairperson has proposed should be dealt with. We don't want to receive, you know, informations of allegations that entertain them. But if you have several allegations coming in, it raises the concern. Thank you, Chair.
Is there any other member? Mr. Chair, Prof, some of these allegations were not direct to me. They were direct to Labour as well, via Labour. So for the fact that they go to Labour, then there's a problem. Some come from the office of the Chair of Labour in this proposal in which of Labour. So it sends a message. One of the members, is that Nelson Johnson? What would I come like you doing? It is about what? Are you happy with my conclusion?
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. I do concur with your proposal that this matter should be dealt with the DG management and the unions, which to a large extent, I think that's the approach which needs to have been taken in the first place, because some of the allegations which have been brought here could probably have been dealt with by the DG or by council without them actually escalating to the level of them being brought here. But I
no,
do...
No, no, no. There's nothing wrong with
no, no, I'm not saying there's anything
no,
wrong.
I want to correct it.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with them.
Yes.
Okay.
No, that, I'm not challenging that. No. I'm not challenging them being brought here. But I think maybe that could have been reduced. But at the same time, Chair, I would like to find out that when we come, should we bring the same delegation, given the cost implication, for instance, of us coming here, all of us, at this stage? I need some clarity on that, Chair. If everyone should come to Parliament again, who is here?
Okay. What we will do, you see sometimes why we say, unless you do your homework with your management. Because you can sometimes, you come as a CEO, and that's how some of you become exposed. Unless you're willing from the organization. Some come here, will ask, and then you say, the finance manager, if he was here, would know that, and then we'll say, okay, now there's a problem. But if the CFO is here, we don't see why the finance manager should be here. That's why I'm trying to raise some of those issues. But I believe next time when you come here, you'll be much lesser, and you'll have to resolve. If you resolve those some of those issues, then I think there wouldn't be much of those issues. Money ends up selling the way and then banking and news was no one is three, it's fine. Mm. Or you'll take from the reserves is fine. Mm. Yeah.
Just last point. How would it be maybe if we could invite the portfolio committee to come to Pretoria so that they can also have an opportunity to interact with staff and see these museums?
No, we'll come, but we don't want to come when we haven't solved some of your issues. Because we'll end up not looking at the beauty or the good work we've done. We'll be concentrating on some of those issues. Sometimes we won't tell you when you come. Because some of you, what you do when you are coming, you make things beautiful. Sometimes you will just come one by one. You will think we're just visitors, we're watching. And how you howl at public. So sometimes we tell you when we are nice, but sometimes we don't. But we can see how you treat members of the public. Yeah.
My last question is the chairperson going to forward all those allegations to us?
We'll leave them here. No, we'll give them to you now.
Okay.
Yeah, there's many of them.
No, we'll appreciate that because that will enable us to.
But I want, whatever that is here must not be used to victimize anybody. It must not be even to clarify those issues. You know, what I'm saying is that this exercise that you're going to do must iron out whatever is in. Because remember, CEO. Sometimes you are the CEO. You don't know what your directors are doing. I'm just giving you an example. When you sit at senior management teams, they give you this clean picture. You don't know the real issues down there. They give you this nice clean picture as if everything is okay in your management meetings. But you don't know down there the level. So that's what I'm trying to give you, to just iron out. That's why I said to you, you will never make anybody hit, but try that let the human element prevail. Okay, members, we are done but not done. because there are certain issues that we will request when you come for the next meeting that are not here. Yeah. We will not call Advocate Kajoyo's office. We'll just leave it like that. We are meeting next week.